Would you pray with me? Holy God, we thank you for your word. And we pray that each of us will hear in it the kernel of truth that you have for us as individuals and as a people. And we pray, O Lord, that that kernel of truth may take root within us and bring forth the fruit that you would have us to produce. This we pray in your Son's name. Amen. Dodi Gadian was a school teacher for 13 years when she decided to travel across America and see the sites that she taught about in her classrooms. And she traveled alone in her truck and her camper, and she launched out. And one afternoon, rounding a curve on I-5 near Sacramento in rush hour traffic, the water pump blew on her truck. She was tired, exasperated, scared, and alone. And in spite of the traffic jam that she caused, no one seemed interested in helping. Leaning up against the trailer, she prayed, "Please, God, send me an angel, preferably one with mechanical experience." And within 4 minutes, a huge Harley drove up, ridden by an enormous man sporting long black hair, a beard, and tattooed arms, with an incredible air of confidence, jumped off, and without even glancing at Dodi, went to work on the truck. Within another few minutes, he flagged down a larger truck, attached a tow chain to the frame of her disabled Chevy, and whisked the whole 56-foot rig off the freeway and onto a side street, where he continued to work on the water pump. Now, the intimidated school teacher, Dodi, was too dumbfounded to talk, especially when she read the paralyzing words on the back of his leather jacket, "Hell's Angels, California." And as he finished the task, she finally got up the courage to say, "Thank you so much," and carried on a brief conversation with her savior. And noticing her surprise at the whole ordeal, he looked her straight in the eye and mumbled, "Don't judge a book by its cover. You may not know who you're talking to." And with that, he smiled, closed the hood of the truck, straddled his Harley. With a wave, he was gone as fast as he appeared. Who know angels had leather jackets that said "Hell's Angels, California" across the back? Well, about a year ago, Barbara and I were on our way to Chautauqua, and we stayed overnight in Williamsport, Pennsylvania. And we found out the next morning that our hotel was the site of a gathering of rough-looking motorcyclists from all over the country. It was the kind of thing that once a year they would motorcycle from wherever they were in the country and get together and spend a weekend together. And we ate breakfast with them because the room where the hotel served the breakfast was the only place that it was filled with these motorcyclists, and we had to eat breakfast with them. And we found out that they were a club, motorcycle club, based on sobriety, a sort of AA group on two wheels. And they talked easily and openly about how the group had saved them. Now, I must admit, I felt bad for the guy. There were young guys, or standing around, just kind of standing like this, not eating or doing anything. And if some one of the other ones needed something, whatever, they would come over and they would go get it. And I found out those were the new members, and they couldn't eat until everybody else had eaten. I'd hoped that there was food left for them. But I gained a new and healthy respect for these rough-looking writers. Don't judge a book by its cover, or at least until you've opened the book and seen what's in between the covers. And that's true for us as we look at other human beings. But it's also true, I think, as we seek to understand and know God. Today, the lectionary reading, the three of them, reach one of those rare times where all three readings speak about the same thing. Let's start with Elijah in a passage from 1 Kings. It's a contest to determine which God is the Lord and which God is the false God. Now, this is the high point in the account of Elijah. Everything is built to this point, and then everything's going to kind of go downhill from this point. Jezebel, the wife of Ahab, was a believer in Baal. And she had brought all of her priests with her when she married Ahab, and was seeking to have Baal made the God of Israel. And Elijah was the lone prophet of God, the Lord of the Israelites. Now, in the ancient Israel, the cult of Baal was a prolonged and major threat. Episcopal pastor, the Reverend Dr. J. Barrington Bates, writes about this. He writes, "Among the ancient Israelites, the cult of Baal was the greatest and most enduring threat to the worship of Yahweh alone. And Baal was not so much one competing god, but rather it's a term that can refer to a number of gods, and even to human officials, gods who were patrons of cities, a god of the rain, and even Baal Zebub, the lord of the flies, who will be identified as the prince of demons in the New Testament. Baal was a Canaanite fertility god, or cult, which was worshipped in the land which the ancient Israelites took as their own when they crossed over the Jordan after the Exodus. Our story basically says today, worship the one who delivers the goods, not the one with the most priests or believers. Now, there are many today who would judge the faith or the version of Christianity with the most believers in the biggest churches as the true one. Are they worshiping God or are they worshiping false gods? I'll come back to that. Then we have Paul writing to the church in Galatia. The people are leaving the faith that Paul had started in Galatia. And it seems evident that people who had come in, ministers who had come in after Paul, were saying that Paul misled them and made things up. We get that sense in the last part of the reading, which Israel shared with us. Am I now seeking human approval or God's approval? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still pleasing people, I would not be a servant of Christ. For I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel that was proclaimed by me is not of human origin, for I did not receive it from a human source, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. Who was trying to please the people? Paul says if it was him, he wouldn't be a servant of Christ. He wouldn't be doing what Christ wanted him to do. Listen to what others are saying, and then look between the covers of the book. Is it the truth, or is it false? And then we get to the gospel story of the Roman centurion, a believer in the Roman gods of Jupiter, Apollo, and many others. And we hear that he was a good friend of the Jewish people in that area. He built a synagogue for them. He respects Jesus and calls him to heal a beloved slave who is very ill. And he tells Jesus through his emissaries that he's not worthy to have Jesus come into his home, and so all he has to do is say the word, and he trusts that his slave will be healed. He recognizes the authority of Jesus, and Jesus, astonished at the faith and trust of this man, heals the slave. This man who was outside the faith, as it were. Now, we also never hear whether this centurion ever became a follower or a believer, but somehow it doesn't seem to matter. In Jesus, he discerned some truth about Jesus and the God that Jesus worshipped. Now, each of these stories takes us between the covers, so to speak, of the book to discover the one true God. Each of these stories uncover and expose the false gods. Now, we don't have people worshiping Baal today. We have other religions, but they don't seem to go against Christianity too much, except maybe Judaism and Islam, because we all are Abrahamic traditions. But many of the others have nothing really in common other than the belief that all people should be good. So we don't have this sense of this syncretism, so to speak, like the people of the ancient Israelites and the early church. So it'd be easy to say, we don't have that problem today. And we would be wrong. We have false gods today. Many of them. We call them the gods of success, the gods of wealth, the gods of power. These false gods are alive and well today, outside and inside the Church of Jesus Christ. We have ministers today who say, God wants you to be successful. God wants you to be wealthy. God will give you great power. I have friends from high school on Facebook. Every now and then they're putting stuff up that says, if you type amen to this, you're going to get a prayer answered today, or you're going to find money, or something like that. Obviously, I don't type amen. Think of it. You've heard ministers that say, if you believe in Jesus, you'll get what you want. But look between the covers. Who are they really lifting up? Jesus and God, or themselves? Who are, by any worldly standard, if we look at Jesus, we cannot say he was successful. His church was not as big as the Jewish temple. Many people did not believe him. And he was nailed to a cross. I mean, if you keep it to the life of Jesus, and I know we could say he's successful because we have the Christian church today. But if we just look at the life of Jesus, when he was here, can't really say he was successful by worldly standards. We can't say he was wealthy. He said, I have no place to lay my head. I have no place to call home. He was not really powerful. He couldn't even save his own life. Sure, he could heal people, but he was still nailed to the cross in the end. And if Jesus didn't have any of that, do you think he would necessarily give that as a blessing to his followers? I don't think he would. And that's what we find when we look between the covers. Match the story with the life of Jesus. I say that often. Jesus did not promise us a rose garden. He did promise that we would not have to go through the trials of life alone. He did not promise us success, wealth, or power, but he did promise us a relationship that would guide us through the trials of living in a world filled with people with competing economics, beliefs, power, and everything else. Jesus teaches us to live in this world with love that strips people of whatever they have to the core of who they are. A person who desires to be loved, to do something good. That's what Elijah believed. That's what Paul believed. And it's most certainly what Jesus believed. We're not to judge other people because, as the biker in my opening story reminds us, too often we get it wrong. We are to live the life of Jesus in the best way that we possibly can by simply loving the person at the core of each and every human being. It's not about those other things, wealth, power, and success. Those are false gods. We are close to the kingdom when we truly follow the one that we call the Son of God. Amen.